Demet was raised in the teachings of Islam and of Hizmet, and has lived a life of service to the world as a teacher, and has traveled quite extensively. And she and her families are refugees from the purge following this theatrical event they're calling the coup. I don't call it that because I know it was staged by the government. So, well, we'd like to welcome you.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Please.
Hello, everyone. I would like to begin by thanking to Lutheran Church and for hosting this presentation, and in particular, Pastor Laura for invitation of her for her invitation and organizing this gathering. Hizmet is a transnational civil society initiative that advocates for the ideals of human rights, equal opportunity, democracy, nonviolence, and the empathic acceptance of religious and cultural diversity. Hizmet means service, but in this context, it refers to service for humanity, regardless of their culture, religion, or color. And the main characteristic of Hizmet movement is the provision of nonstop service to others and self-dedication to good values. Hizmet movement has paved an exemplary way of working together to overcome the problems of humanity, humankind, regardless of their religious, ethnic, and cultural differences. Participation in the movement activities are totally voluntary, and there is no official membership. The Hizmet movement is inspired by Fethullah Gulen. We call him as Hoca Efendi, which means master. And Hoca Efendi is a preacher, writer, an activist. Now let us watch a short movie about him, a video about him. I would like to ask you, could we open the first video?
Fethullah Gulen. In 2 minutes. Fethullah Gulen is a Turkish scholar, preacher, author, and activist. He is the author of tens of books and hundreds of articles on Islam, education, and civil service. According to Gulen, books and ideas are only meaningful if they are turned into action, and action starts with the education of the individuals to help them become good citizens and unlock their potentials. In almost 5 decades, he encouraged the people around him to invest in education and serve humanity. Today, there are more than 1,000 educational institutions, humanitarian aid organizations, cultural and interfaith dialogue centers around the world initiated by his followers. A key question comes to mind. How does Gulen motivate millions of people to serve humanity at a global level? His answer to that question reflects an important fact about the worldwide acceptance of his ideas. Quote, "The secret of this movement should be searched in the reasonability of the work. These people are coming together to serve humanity and fight against its common problems, such as ignorance, poverty, and conflict," end quote. Gulen denounces violence and terrorism categorically. A Muslim cannot be a terrorist, and a terrorist cannot be a Muslim, is the gist of his ideas. He imagines a universal peace as an ultimate goal and asks his friends to walk towards that goal, no matter how small their steps are. He supports democratic elections as only means to change power and strongly encourages math and science education. As an authority in Islamic tradition, Gulen's support to democracy and science plays an important role in the integration of Muslim societies with the world. Gulen also sees interfaith dialogue as a key factor of peace building. Indeed, majority of the people who are served by his followers are not Muslims. For instance, after a visit to a Gulen-inspired school in the conflict zone in Philippines, Reverend Thomas Michel said, quote, "The traveler entering the compound discovers a little island of peace, tolerance, and excellent education, as Muslim and Christian teachers together conduct high-quality education for over 1,000 Muslim and Christian children. This, to me, is an excellent example of the contribution of interreligious dialogue to the building of peace," end quote.
So as it is mentioned in the video, education is really important for a solution of the problems of humankind. Hoca Efendi emphasizes altruism, hard work, and education. Altruism means preferring the others over ourselves. It is the most important value we have lost before, and Hoca Efendi reminded it us again. Serving something greater than yourself, do not simply care for your own interests, but strive toward a greater vision. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said that the best of you who is beneficial and helpful for others. And I was in high school when I met Hizmet. And that I was in the preparation course of college, university preparation course. And I was surprised, I was impressed by these people. The teachers and administrators, they were dedicated and they were, it was very important for them, representation. And I saw their profession beyond a salary paid job. And there were students who were giving free tuition for other children who are in need. And I was surprised, why do they do this one? And then one of my friends, she was in Siberia, who was volunteering there, plus she was studying at university, she asked me to volunteer in Siberia 18 years ago. Then I was surprised, how shall I say this to my father, because I was the only daughter in my family, and he would cuddle me a lot. And that night I told my father, I want to go to Siberia. And he was shocked. He said, okay, I don't know, because he was also, how can I say, he said that with these people, I trust them, I know that they are trustable people, they are different people. And then, in Siberia, 18 years ago, there was no cell phone, there was nothing, and everybody was asking me, are you sure about this? And everybody was saying to my father that, did you lose your mind? How do you send your daughter to Siberia? And after 2 days, I reached there, and the life was like paradise. Everybody was surprising. How do you feel? Because there is nothing to enjoy, or you cannot go outside very easily. And then, after 2 years, they asked me, would you like to go to Mongolia? Without thinking, I said yes. And then I said, okay, let me ask to my parents also. And I said my parents that I want to go to Mongolia. They said that this is your life. If you are happy with this way, go ahead. We will just support you. And I went to Mongolia. It was the same lovely days. And for example, I was studying at university, and I was taking care of my students, like parents. One day, one parent came and she said, what did you do to my child? Because after coming to this school, she started greeting us, she started helping me, she started hugging me, she started loving me, caring me. And just the thing we do in these schools, loving each other and living the values, representing, taking role model. Regardless of the religion or culture, because these are secular schools, we don't give any religional classes. And then there was a place, the name is Bayanölgi in Mongolia. They said that you will go to this place. When I was about to go, our director said that the place where you go, it's the first class of the Mongolia. As if, imagine that Mongolia is a plane, and it is the best, it is the first class of Mongolia. Then when I went, there was no airport. And the flight was, well, it was like a small bus. The sound was like motor sound. And when I reached there, I saw there was no airport, just small like room. There was a small place. And then our director and his wife took me just small trip to show that place. Mountains, mountains, and mountains, and small houses. But I was like, as if I'm in paradise. I was in paradise, because I know that I went there for a holy aim, sharing, loving. And then when I went there and he asked me, how did you find it? How is it? I said, lovely. I loved it. And he turned, he said, are you sure? I said, yes. And all these feelings by Hoca Efendi, by Fethullah Gülen, because he says always, he emphasizes always loving each other, loving and sharing. Nothing else, except everyone in their position. Don't care, because humanity is very important. And when I went there, all my students, after some time, they started calling me as their second mother. We became like family, we loved each other. And after that, there was a director. His name is Adem Tatlı. He was the director of schools, but in Hizmet, directors are like serving, servants, because they call each other, we are the servants. For example, there was a construction was going on in the school. He was carrying the bricks. He was making, he was constructing with the people. And he's, one day the school needed money, but they couldn't find money. Then he was thinking, what shall I do? And he sold his house for this, the construction of the school. They don't expect anything. Hizmet people, they don't live for a comfortable life. Their just aim is taking this love to all hearts, sharing this love with everyone. And then after that, after getting married, I went to India. And this, first, I want to say that before this, I had one operation, appendicitis operation in Mongolia. I couldn't say this to my parents because they will feel upset and they will call me. Maybe they will say that, okay, we cannot live without you, please come. So for this purpose, I didn't say them anything. During this time, my mother was cancer. She had operation and she didn't let me to know about her illnesses because she thought that if I know this one, I will be very upset and I will leave everything and I will go back to Turkey. She didn't let me know. And after long time, she said to me that she felt that these are her last days. She said to me that, could you please visit me? And I understood that there is something. Because before that, when I was in Siberia, one day I missed her a lot. There was no cell phone. It was not very easy to talk to our parents. One day I missed my mother and I called her. I said, I missed you a lot. And she was, how can I say, she said that, what are you talking about? God gave you a very nice chance that which people they want to be in your situation. You have to use this one. You have to know the meaning of this. So I don't want to hear this word again anymore. Just be strong and do your whatever you have to do. And then I visited her in her last days. She told me that, listen to me, and don't come, never ever, don't come back to Turkey. Do whatever, because there are people need you more than I need you. You have to be there, because the world need this type of people. And after that, I went to India with my husband after getting married. In India, when we were going, he was a little bit anxious, because India is totally different. Will I be happy there, or will I be shocked about the difference? And when we went, it was summer in August, and when we came out from the airport, it was extreme heat was blowing on our faces, and the humid, and the smell of spices, everything. But still, I was like flying, because as if I'm in paradise, because I know why I came here. And my husband was surprised. He was looking at me and he said that, how did you find it? I said, nice. And I said, but it's so hot, he said. I said, this is normal. I was expecting this one. And what about humid? It's also normal. And the smell, everything. Because we don't care. One of my students from Mongolia, when she visited Turkey, she was shocked. And she said that you live in a country like paradise. So what is the reason you are living in our country? Why do you live in our current country? Then I said to her, just love. We are here for you. We are here together. And after graduation, she wrote me an email. She said that, thank you so much for your patience. Thank you so much for coming here, because then we realized the reality. We are same, we are human. Because you came, then how can I say, our lives changed. And then with my husband, we were looking for a house for rent. We entered the house, there was a house, only one bedroom and one salon, which doesn't have any door, and the wardrobes broken, and the toilet was in rust, everything was horrible, but still I said, okay, let us rent this house. He said, what do you think about doors are broken? I said, okay, we can buy nail and we can fix it, no problem. And what about the rust in the toilet? Okay, I can clean it, I can handle it. And what about there is no door, what will we do? Okay, no problem, we will hang a curtain. And he said, okay, be slow, let us look another house, then we will decide. Okay, but then when we saw another house, checked it, and I said, okay, let us rent this one. We rented the second house, but he's met people, they don't care, they don't think about themselves, dedicated people. This is not only me, all over the world. There was a place in Mongolia, that time, there was no electricity, and babies, they need milk, and the teacher's wife, they were heating the milk under their arms for their kids. And when they were changing the diaper, the husband was covering with a blanket. Under that one, she was changing the diaper because it was extremely cold. When I was there, we didn't have hot water in the winter. So we were washing first our hair separately and then washing ourselves with cold water. So the situations are totally extremely difficult, but you are living in a life as if you are in paradise because of this love, I want to say about this. And I want to say, and then we went, and I had students in India. First, I told the other city, we rented a house which has three bedrooms for our students. There was no dormitory, and I talked to my husband, okay, let us use this room as a dormitory for our students. Once in a week, they were coming, they were staying in my house. We were talking about values, general values. We were talking about love, patience, respecting to each other. First, it was strange for Indian families, parents, because they said that a teacher will serve for our children. I said, yes, no, it's an honor for us. And after that, one day, one of my students came. She said that I asked to my father, can I go to this place? And he said, who is coming with you? She said, Mrs. Demet. And he said, okay, you can go wherever you want, whenever you want, whenever you want to come back, you can come. As long as you are with her, you can go wherever you want. This is trust. This is not only Demet. This is that love I am saying. And after that, I took my students to Turkey for 2 months. And one of parents, he came and he said that, I know that you will take care of our children better than us. I trust you more than everyone. And before this one, in Mongolia, the president of Mongolia, he was saying that if you put 1,000 people, 1,000 students in this place, and only one student from Turkish school, this Hizmet Movement schools, one student, I can recognize him from his face and from the standing. Same my students, they were saying that when we get on the taxi, we don't say that we are going to Turkish school. They are taking us directly to Turkish school. And they said, how did you come to know that we are from Turkish school? From your face, they say. And after that, we went to Tunisia, transferred to Tunisia. And I was again happy. And my husband asked me, do you know where Tunisia is? I said, no. Do you know what type of country is it? I said, I don't know. And so why are you happy? I said, the same feeling. And when I went there, the same with my students, sharing, loving each other. And I'm very happy to be in this. Imagine 18, 19 years old teenagers are having these type of goals. Normally teenagers, they want to enjoy their life. They want to go to cafes, or sometimes they are having chaos with their parents, with friends, with each other. But with this, with Hoca Efendi, he gave us, he showed us an aim, the goal of life. With this way, just in, how can I say, we got the taste of the real life. We got the taste, real taste. Because comfortable life can feed our body, but this is something different. The real bread, as Jesus said, the real bread, he showed us this one. And I want to show another video, the second one. And unfortunately, then problems started between our government and Hizmet, because this is the way of all prophets also, because even Joseph, Jesus, Muhammad, peace be upon them, everybody had these problems in their life.
How do we know which year was the worst in history? By the number of deaths, spread of disease, violation of rights, rise of violence? When one considers the Syrian war, ISIS's terrorism, countless mass killings, and the worst refugee crisis since World War II, many think 2016 is a good contender for the title. Of course, it's an unfortunate fact that there have been many violent, bloody years in human history. But for many Turks, 2016 is unanimously the worst year in at least the last three decades. Having dramatically turned into a totalitarian regime, a process that only began in 2011, Turkey's problems reached an explosive nadir on the bleak night of July 15, 2016, when an attempted coup failed, leaving behind 240 dead. For President Erdogan and his entourage, what happened that night was crystal clear. They knew who the plotters were, even in the early hours of the attempt when no evidence was, at least publicly, known. But there are always two sides to a story. Notwithstanding the many contradictions and the many questions which still blur our vision of that night, what has happened in the aftermath is unavoidably conspicuous. Let us take a look at some of the alarming numbers. 38,871 individuals jailed. Imagine all the population of the city-state of Monaco behind bars. 6,337 academics fired, which is more than all the teaching staff of Stanford and Yale combined. 115,094 public servants purged. This is tantamount to all government officials of Bulgaria. 79,488 individuals detained, which is the total number of detainees in 16 European countries, including Germany, UK, and France. 4,034 judges and prosecutors dismissed. In other words, the total number of judges in England and Wales multiplied by four. 10,000 journalists lost their jobs, which is no less than two-thirds of all journalists in Finland. 145 journalists behind bars. A figure unrivaled by even germophobic China, Iran, and Egypt combined. 41,667 teachers dismissed. Like Ireland, showing the door to her 80% of public schools' teachers. 195 media outlets shut down. Feels like all Danish press shut down in a dystopian future.
So even if we had these problems, Hoca Efendi always says, don't attend any arguments, don't attend any protest, just speak with the language of peace, language of love, because this is the destiny of this path, which, as I said, Joseph, Jesus, and all Noah, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon all of them, they had this period, they had the same process. So, if we say that we are in the same path, we should act like them, with the language of peace. And there is short, again, movie, and then I will finish my speech.
you have somebody who's come here and basically has been invisible. He does not choose to be on TV. He does not choose to move around the country to give public meetings. He does not even choose to meet with significant numbers of his followers. He lives a rather monkish kind of life.
İnsanların böyle insan öldürmeye, cinayetlere, zulümlere, haksızlıklara, şiddetlere, hiddetlere kilitlendiği bir dönemde bu şiddet, bu hiddet ne ölçüde kırılabilirse ben onu şahsen insanlık adına çok önemli bir şey sayıyorum. Evet, insanların insanca yaşamalarını, insan ufka yükselmelerini, birbirleriyle sarmaş dolaş olmalarını, Hazreti Mevlana'nın oluşturmaya çalıştığı o ufkun oluşmasını, o atmosferin oluşmasını, kinlerin, nefretlerin gömülmesi, üzerine kayaların yerleştirilmesi, bir daha hortlamasına meydan verilmemesi, bunu istiyorum ben. Siz de onu isteyin.
I think he is spiritually bonded to God himself. You think you are praying to the same God at the same time. What I need to say while with him is, oh my God, please give what Fethullah Gulen is asking for you. Instead of saying something from me, I feel like I should just say Ameen to what he is asking for.
So much. In conclusion, I sincerely thank you for patience and attention for listening to me. Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you again for this gathering. Have a great day.